The Old Testament reading for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James, chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well, but if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. Story of that actually happened. It was in New York City one day at the Empire State Building, and a man got trapped between the 52nd and 53rd floors of the Empire State Building. That's over 525 feet up in the air, and it gets stuck. See, that's why I don't like elevators. Don't the walls of elevators close in on you when you're in there? Am I the only one that notices this phenomenon? They do. They close in on you slowly. He wrote then afterwards, because I've never been so terrified or so alone in my life. Those 5 hours were a living hell. I was trapped and I couldn't get out. That's a horrible feeling, you know. I was trying to open the door with my hands and they wouldn't budge. So I tried yelling, but nobody could hear me. I couldn't see anything. It was like death was in there. I knew I was never going to get out. Well, he did. Detective Moran rappelled down from a couple floors above, pried open the door up above on the elevator car, and was able to get him out. He wanted the door to be opened, which is an important word for today's message, be opened. When he got out, he looked at his watch and it read 9:15. He said he would never forget the time that the doors opened and he got out because he really had his doubts whether he'd ever see daylight again. There was a man 2,000 years beforehand, not a matter of blackouts or elevators, electricity. He couldn't hear anyone. It said he was deaf. It's interesting that he spoke with a speech impediment. Could kind of get into what age he was deaf, but he must have became deaf at a very, very young age. Only had the rudimentary basics of the language. See, without hearing, he can't copy the words that he hears. That's how we develop speech. We copy the words that we hear and we make adjustments. Kids learn their accents or things like that from their parents and people around them. But he couldn't copycat the words that he heard because he couldn't hear. He had a functioning brain, but no real way to communicate with other people. He would have been, growing up, he would have been cut off for other kids. When he became an adult, he would have been cut off as part of his role as a member of the synagogue to read the lessons. He would have been cut off from the world around him. He was literally locked into his own world. And I wonder if he dreamt that he could just be normal, what it would be like to hear. Having worked with the deaf for 15 years, they are sort of locked in their own world because they can't communicate with everybody. If they can't write well, they cannot communicate with everybody. But if they find somebody else who signs, you are their best friend ever. I got two deaf guys at Walmart. When I see them, they squeal. I really wish they wouldn't do that because that scares everybody. I mean, I say that lovingly, but they squeal because they see me and they want to get my attention. That's their version of yelling out. You know, hi, hey there. By the way, I always get a free lunch when I see them because they got somebody to talk to for an hour. But anyways, they are trapped in their own little world to a certain degree. I'm sure he wanted to be like, quote, everyone else so that he could be part of the everyday community. You know, we all have our little prisons that we are trapped into. We can be trapped by a sin of the past, that guilt of something that we did. We wish we could change that day way back when we did fill in the blank, but we can't. It's a trap of guilt, and we can't seem to let go. Or we have that private little sin, that little sin that we keep doing and we know it's wrong, and we come to church and we vow again, Lord, I'm going to stop doing this, whatever it is, but yet again we find ourselves falling back into old ways and repeating it again. We get trapped in our own little world. Or we get trapped by a sin that isn't even ours. When somebody else does something to you, you get pinned down by it, you wonder, will I ever get out from underneath this? We all have our prisons, our own little worlds that we want to have somebody say, be opened to. Ever since the fall, the world has been in darkness, the darkness of sins. Excuse me. God's perfect creation, his perfect world, what we see is just a shell that is corrupted beyond belief. The Bible is relatively vague on what perfection looked like because we have nothing to compare it to. How do you compare a perfect world when we have nothing today that even comes close to perfect, let alone good in the sight of God? There is something good in the sight of God. That's Jesus Christ, and he sees us good because of him. But I hope I made my point clear. If I didn't, blame Randy. But into this darkness of sin in the world, into this corrupted creation, came a man, the Son of God. He came to do something about sin. He came to open up the kingdom of God to people. In the lesson, Jesus puts his fingers in the ears of the deaf man and spits and puts it on the man's tongue. A bodily demonstration and a verbal demonstration to accomplish God's will. Be opened, and they were. And the man, by the way, was completely healed. One thing that's sometimes forgotten is he had his hearing back, but he also spoke clearly. There's the second miracle. There's two miracles there. He can hear again, and he can speak perfectly. Because if you don't have your hearing, and you suddenly get it back, you don't speak clearly immediately when your ears work again. You know, they have the cochlear implants, those electronic ears. It's a long story. Deaf don't like them, so they got a very derogatory sign for them. But the implants that go on their ears or around their ears, as soon as they turn that on, they have to turn it up very gently to get it up to a normal level because it scares the deaf to no end because they're getting input into their brain they've never had or it's been years since they heard anything. And they don't just suddenly speak clearly. They've got to go through years of speech therapy classes. Now, if you go deaf, say at my age, and they put on one of those implants, I would still have my regular voice because I've already learned how to speak. But here's the second miracle. He could also speak clearly. He didn't go through that baby talk stage. He understood the language perfectly. By physical means, Jesus touched him for healing. By combining it with his word, the miracle was complete. As far as trapped sinners today, we are helpless to help ourselves. We need our world for somebody to say, be open to it. That's why Jesus came in the first place. We cannot make it on our own. Like the man trapped in the elevator, he could do nothing. We can't claw our way out of sin. And no matter how much we would love to do it, we can't fix anything about our own sinful lives ourselves. But Jesus, who came into the world to say, be open to us, walked into a trap, willingly walked into a trap set by Judas. He trapped himself so that we don't have to be trapped. He walked into a prison where he was beaten so that we don't have to walk into an eternal prison. When the world pushes us down, Christ says, I was pushed down and they put nails in my hands. Why? For the doors of heaven. So the doors of heaven would be opened to us. And Jesus used his body to open those doors. And there's physical elements today where Jesus accomplishes great miracles. And we have that in the Lord's Supper. We have the bread and wine combined with his word that his body and blood is present. And the great miracle is our sins are forgiven. 3 days after his death was the greatest be opened moment in the history of the world. The tomb was opened, wide open, and we are free from sin and death. But do we believe that he frees us from our pet sins, our habitual sins, or pressure put on by other people? Yes, he does. The man in the elevator said, I have never felt freedom like that before. I felt alive again. We have a new life in Christ because of what he's done for us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.